All right. Well,
we ready?
I think I'm ready. You ready?
Ready to do this thing?
Are you feeling it?
I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling good. Yeah, are you?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
All right. That's good. I'm kind of getting there. I feel like I need to get a little of this.
Like a stunting.
I just get some height going. Get a prance. Like a lip sync something right now.
Do you need to poop? Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my man James Tapeleg Grayling and I discuss the beginning of the 2016-2017 season, the recent sad passing of a former Avs player, goaltending struggles for the Avalanche's number one, and we give you a recent history lesson on the Avalanche's blue line. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 103 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avs fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tapeleg Grayling, and I'm Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. Partner, what's going on?
Howdy. How are you?
We're currently watching hockey.
This is it's so weird because the game is on.
We don't do this.
It's on behind me. This is the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche, currently tied 2-2. In your world, it's like 15 minutes left to go in the game. In my world, it's 16. I'm about a minute behind.
I'm about 15 and a half right now. We usually don't do the show while we're watching, but this kind of worked. This was the time that worked the best for both of us, and so here we go.
The great part is that since you're in the future, you get to tell me when something's coming, and I get to turn around and go.
and you could tweet it out and be like, "How does this guy do that?
That's amazing.
It is so cool."
Shit, we're going to take him to Las Vegas and win lots and lots of money because that's what Vegas did. No, that's not how it works.
Well, Back to the Future 2, they almost had the Cubs right. They were off by a year, so
that's
good. You need that book and you'd be all set. You need to find Biff with the book. So you're in the world, right?
I am. I'm in San Francisco.
Nice.
Most likely the next show will come from San Francisco also.
Okay.
It's all right. It's
San Francisco.
Kind of dirty.
Yeah.
Kind of dirty, you know. I haven't seen any Google buses, but I've seen lots of people using the bathroom in the streets. And it's that kind of a vibe.
There's that.
Yeah. So no matter where you are, just remember you're not in San Francisco paying really, really, really expensive rent for the privilege of
watching
a city that smells like a bathroom.
To watch people.
Or New York, I guess, is kind of like that sometimes too.
Go potty. Yeah.
Yeah.
The world is your potty.
Yeah.
Depending on where you live.
But people aren't here to listen to me talk about what the bathroom situation is. They're here to listen to us talk about the Avalanche.
We're here to talk. This is episode number 103 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche. So we're going to talk about the 2003 amateur draft and who the Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club drafted that day or days. Mm-hmm. Anybody of note in 2003?
Oh, David Lifton
was the
top pick for the Avs that year. Yeah. David Lifton. You remember Dave Lifton, don't you?
Dave's not here.
Yeah. Wound up getting traded away to the Rangers.
He sure did. He played a few games for the Avs. I do remember the name for sure.
Yeah.
And
he played 3 games for the Rangers and 4 games for the Avs, in which he scored 1 goal for the Avs.
He scored a goal?
He scored a goal. He scored one single goal.
And
that was in his NHL career. He had 7 games, 1 goal, no assists, 26 penalty minutes.
26. Good for him.
Yeah. And that was he was the 63rd overall pick.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Who else? Anybody else of note?
Yes. Brad Richardson got selected.
Still going.
5th round. Still going.
Still going.
And actually, the weird one is at 9th round, Nine rounds? I know. They were doing now they're doing like seven.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have you ever gone to an NHL draft?
They need to have it here. I'm not going to travel to go check one out.
I've been to two drafts, one in Columbus, Ohio, and one in Los Angeles.
How are they?
They're great for the first round. And then you miss the second round because they start like early on Saturday and you're just like, oh, I can't do it.
I can't do it.
The time you get to the seventh round, you're like, please let this end. I'm just here to be a completist.
I don't even care.
So like the first round is on Friday night and the upper bowl is where all of us, you know, peons sit. Okay. The people who aren't getting selected or aren't hockey people.
You're watching the ants run between the tables and all that stuff.
Absolutely. Okay. And you're like looking around going, okay, where's anybody sitting? And you can't really tell who's sitting where. And then they select somebody and everybody looks around for like, where is that person? And then there's hugging and a light and all that. Anyways, and then day two, Saturday, is when was when they start the second round. And I think they only started that like right after the lockout or something to make it more interesting and stuff. Anyways, so then you get to go down to the lower bowl because there's nobody there.
Okay.
Like the holdouts, the guys who traveled there thinking they were going to get selected in the first round are still there hoping for the second round. And then like by the time you get to the fourth or fifth round, you're over. I think it was in 2007, I think it was like the sixth round or something. Everybody, like the teams, I guess they get like a little extra time like once during it.
Right.
They can call a timeout. And the Ottawa Senators call a timeout in like the sixth round and they got booed because everybody's like, come on.
Get it over with already.
I want to go eat.
I don't even care anymore.
This sucks.
I suppose if they ever have it here, I'd go just to say that went, but they've never had it here. The Avs have been in existence 20 plus years. They've never had the draft here. So
they had the All-Star game, right? And then they had the they had the Super Bowl. And then they held the US Open. And then the outdoor game, right?
Yeah, all those things. Well, two out of those four. I don't know. Maybe
There's never been a Super Bowl in Colorado, has
it? They always have it unless it's in New York like a couple years ago, but no.
We've got to get back to hockey in a moment, but have the Nuggets ever won a championship?
No.
Damn.
They've only been in the playoffs a handful of times, too, so.
Yeah.
They had
the greatest uniforms back in like the
80s. Oh, absolutely. They were the throwbacks for those of you that are Nuggets fans, but Dikembe Mutombo's number was retired for the home opener this season, and those uniforms are glorious. So
nice.
That's it. Shout out to my friend and old coach Bill Schaefer, who just retired from the Denver Nuggets. He worked for them in a lot of different capacities. For the last, I think, 30 years, he was the official scorer for the Denver Nuggets. You know, there's an actual scorebook, like when you're growing up and you're playing basketball, you have to keep track of who scores what. He kept the official scorebook. Like the scoreboards are not official in basketball. It's the book.
Played basketball?
Yeah.
I thought you played baseball.
I played basketball in middle school. He was my coach. Oh, he was my baseball coach too. Shout out to him though. Retired at the end of last year. This is the first year the Denver Nuggets organization haven't had him working there for 49 years.
Wow.
He worked for the Nuggets for 49 years. So he probably won't listen to this, but those of us that grew up in Denver, pretty much everybody who played sports, whether it was football, basketball, or baseball, knows Coach Bill Schaefer. Shout out to him. Great teacher, great coach, nice. And very fortunate to know him and been able to play for him. So there we go. Shout out.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you, you know who he's not? Was the ninth round, 288th overall pick.
Nice segue.
David Jones.
Is he still? Did he catch on with somebody? Because I heard he got released from. I think he got released from a PTO with Anaheim, if I remember correctly.
I think you're right, and I don't think he may be playing overseas now. He might. He probably went to like Switzerland or something.
That's gonna be my next guess. Yeah.
Yeah, he's you know, and that's and it's interesting because it's not like he had a good amount of games.
He did. He played a lot of games and scored a lot of
over 400 games.
He scored a lot of goals in the NHL as well. Scored some big goals for the Avs.
You know, if you're an older guy, you better be in the NHL right now. If you're an older guy, you better have some serious stats.
Yeah.
If you're kind of a middle older guy, you know, there may not be room for you.
That's me.
There's a lot of kids coming up.
That's me. I'm a middle.
That's the way it is.
I'm a middle older guy who can't score.
You kind of are. You're lucky that you do podcasting.
Can't score hockey pucks. That's right. So we go from kind of goofy notes in the draft and shout outs and things to sad news that we all learned about this week. Former Avalanche forward Marek Svatos passed away at 34 in Lone Tree, a suburb of Denver. Not a whole lot of details, but since there isn't a crime investigation, a very sad ending. Leaves behind his wife and two young kids. And I guess it's easy to forget about him because he hadn't played for the Avalanche or in the NHL for a few seasons. But very sad. Scored a lot of, not a ton of big goals for the Avalanche, but when he was on for a couple seasons, he had a pretty good Avalanche career until he started not being able to score. So he was drafted. We talked about him a couple shows ago. I did find the game that I had talked about him about kind of nebulously in our show. In 2008 in North Carolina, the Avs were down 4-2 going into the third period. Cody Mack scored a goal to make it 4-3, and then Svatos scored twice to give the Avalanche the lead and eventually the win. So the Avalanche drafted him in 2001, 227th pick overall, and some pretty good numbers for Svatos.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, 100 goals in the NHL is nothing to sneeze at. You know, if you have 100 goals, you ain't doing bad.
Yeah.
Tonight during this game, Rantanen finally gets his first goal. It was one of those things where it's like, it seems like it's a long time coming. And, but Marek Svatos, 344 games, in the NHL, and 100 goals, 72 assists. And, that doesn't include the playoffs, where he had, 14 games. Playoff games. That includes 11 playoff games in the 2003-04 season, yeah, which was the Paul Kariya and Timo Solani,
yep,
season, which is, there was all the star power and everything, but, you know, guys getting called up. He only played 4 regular season games and then the 11 playoff games, and he stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. He had a good Avalanche career, and, very, very sad news this week. So
yeah, 34. It's
not okay. So
no
thoughts to his family and his friends and Avalanche community grieving. The Avalanche did a great job. Let's see. Today is Friday. I think they acknowledged this the last home game. I think it was Tuesday. They
did. Which you went to, right?
I didn't go Tuesday. No, I'm going Sunday to the Bruins game, and I went to the Saturday game against the Wild as well. So
that was
they did a really nice tribute to him. Had a really nice video. I can post up the video to the game in North Carolina that I was at, and also I'll post the video that the Avalanche did. Shout out to everybody that worked on that. They did a really good job putting that together and honoring his career with the Avalanche. So,
was this the Carolina game that you were at where you were wearing the Cochi jersey and you went on the and you were on the screen?
That was the TV next. That was the next trip. I think a couple years later, and we sat a lot lower on that one. Yeah, that was a Hajduk goal that I was cheering for there. So good times, man. Watching the Avalanche on the road is always so much fun. But the Cochi jersey. I still have it. You want it?
No,
it would.
It's blueberry too, isn't it?
Yeah, it wouldn't fit you anyway. I'd be like a
blanket. I'll put on a few more pounds, maybe get some, you know, I don't know, torso extensions, so I get a little taller.
It would be
Shrek size.
It would be more like a snuggie on you, I think. So
yeah, that would be weird.
Maybe Sunday. Those are the jersey goals for you. Jersey goals. So the season has started. We are currently watching the 13th game of the Colorado Avalanche's Hockey Club season. I don't know, man. It's hard to. Do you have words so far? It's. I don't want to call it quite disappointing. It's still very early. I don't know whether I was expecting more, but more of the same has been kind of tough. What do you think? What do you think so far? We'll break down a couple of the highlight games as well, and we'll.
Yeah, because yeah. I mean, I want to hear your thoughts on some of the shenanigans that you witnessed at the Minnesota. At the Minnesota game with Landeskog versus Dubnyk.
That was awesome. Okay, yeah. We'll talk about that.
But so, the expectations were kind of interesting because of the way the coaching situation went down with Waugh leaving, and then here we are with a new coach who just walks in. There's the weirdness of playing in the World Cup of hockey versus guys who didn't. You know, so I don't know what I expected, but The two things that I really didn't expect was as lackluster an offense as we have seen, mm-hmm. especially from the top guys. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe I just didn't expect the goaltending to be playing out like it is. Yeah. And some of that feels like wishful thinking, and some of that feels like it really, really shouldn't be this way.
I guess I agree. I guess we're getting some clarity. I know a lot of people blamed Waugh's system for kind of the lackluster performances, and it's, like I said, it's still early, but it's getting clearer that it may not be the system that's kind of the larger issue. Now early the Avs looked much improved. The puck movement on the power play looked great. Heck, they scored their first 5-on-3 goal in over a season. They didn't score. They had nine plus minutes of 5-on-3 last year, and they never scored. Jerome McGinley scored in one of the first couple games and gives them their first 5-on-3. So really happy to see that. The power play is looking pretty good, but overall, man, the odd man rushes. We're going to talk about the defense coming up here just a little bit too, and it's just been. But again, Varley hasn't been quite the Varley that we're used to. He's been kind of little room for error guy lately, and you know, before tonight's start, he had had 20 goals in his last five starts. That he had given up 20 goals.
Is that good?
That's, last time I checked, that's not good. But I might have to look at that, but. It's just been tough. It's you know, giving up so many odd man rushes, and so you start thinking about, okay, it's not necessarily a system, now what? So I'm not trying to get too caught up in that, but it is discouraging watching them give up so many goals, and I'm not trying to blame Varley either. He's been hung out to dry a lot, and I think the team would tell you the same thing.
The weird thing about systems is like when you. It takes a while for the general audience to start really figuring out what the system is, because, you know, first off, you don't, you know, we're not in the room, so we don't hear coaches say, you know, do this, do that, this is the system. And also they don't really want to say, hey, here's our system, other team that we're playing. Don't you like that? Doesn't that look interesting? So it shouldn't be super obvious.
You didn't see it, but Lauren Gardner, the new Julie Brownman for Altitude Sports, was interviewed in Cody McLeod between the first and the second period. And she asked about the scouting report that they had on Hutchinson, the goaltender for the Jets. It's like, nah, I probably couldn't tell you a whole lot about that. He was given the stock answers. We need some traffic in front. And, you know, he can't stop what he can't see. But I thought they reminded me of that. It was hilarious as far as, what's your scouting report? Oh, we're going to go high glove on him. There we go.
Every time.
Yeah, no big deal at all. So
coach told us to leave him alone in the five hole. Never shoot five hole.
So we're not going to try that. But what else? Do you need more detail on that, or are you good right there?
Should I tell you exactly what our – here's our zone entries.
Exactly.
And a system is – and so, you know, this guy's only had – and until everybody is, like, bought into the system and everybody plays the system – you know, systems can be things like, you know, your trap game, you know, and things like that. But until everybody plays the system and the system's kind of obvious, then you really don't know exactly what the system means and what it is. But, you know, the Waugh era versus the now era, you know, the defense has changed some. The offense is, you know, the top lines are largely the same. You know, we're locked into contracts and the goaltending is the same. So... yeah, it's kind of like when you fire a coach and then you get a new guy in, there's a bit of a boost because of how the players feel like right off the bat, but things regress to the mean. If you have player and personnel issues, they're not going to be fixed by a brand new coach.
I think we're kind of seeing that right now, and I'm not trying to blast the team at all. I think there's a transition that they're going through as well right now. Their best players aren't necessarily being their best players as far as production, besides Duchesne, and it's going to take some time. I think we all wish it wouldn't take as much time, and it's going to take some patience. And like I said a couple times before, it's still early in the year, but you know, you can't necessarily make the playoffs right now. You can't necessarily. I mean, you can ask a lot of teams that started off really hot. Ask the Canadiens last year, but you can definitely work yourself into a hole that makes it a little bit tougher to get out of. So. Just hoping the Avs can turn things around a little bit. So when you start talking about playoffs, you're not trying to make up time while also trying to make up space. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, and then, you know, look at the opening night, you know, with Colborne.
Opening night was pretty, a lot of honkage. Mm-hmm. Ton of honkage. Yeah. But yeah, Colborne has not scored since. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct. Yes.
Do you have that in front of you? I can.
That is correct. Yeah. That's it. Three
goals. So
three goals and one assist for him.
So he hasn't scored in 11 games, working on 12 right now. So, I mean, there's that, but it was super exciting. Shout out to Brendan McNicholas, PR guy for the Avs, B McNick on Twitter. Second opening night hat trick in Avalanche history. Paul Stastny had one in 07 against the Stars, and Colborne became the first Avalanche player to score three goals in his first game with the team since the franchise relocated. So the last home hat trick was Nathan MacKinnon on February 22nd, Military Appreciation Night last year. So it was really exciting. I think everybody was really hopeful, but things have definitely slowed down since then. They've been on the road, mm-hmm, a ton. We could talk about the schedule as well. The schedule's been pretty difficult, and they've played some high-caliber opponents and kind of lets them know where they are as a team. And
yeah, the problem, though, is that, you know, you're in the Central Division, which has high-caliber opponents anyways.
Absolutely.
The Dallas Stars aren't doing so, you know, all that hot right now, but they're still a quality team. You've got the Chicago Blackhawks. They aren't doing the great as well as they possibly could because they have, you know, they have all that turnover all the time due to their salary cap situations. But still, you know, they're 10-3-1 right now.
No problem. Second in the league.
St. Louis Blues, they're generally a difficult team, even though they're 7-5-3 right now. Sure. Minnesota, they've already got, you know, they're doing okay, and they always have something out for the Avalanche. So, and then you've got Nashville, who they are struggling, but they have that PK Subban. They're always a threat. So no matter where you go right now, there's going to be challenges. And in this division, oh man, there's really going to be challenges.
I mean,
you have to have your game.
You got a lot of work to do in the league. The Avalanche are very close. Well, let's see. I'm scrolling way too far here. They're 28th in the league right now. I mean, not including the game we're watching right now. Their goal differential is minus 13.
Which is 28th in the league.
That's right. I've brought this up a couple times, and Jared Bednar brings it up, and every team brings it up. You have to protect your home ice. Mm-hmm. The Avalanche are they're 2-3 at home so far this season. You know, and they had the big win against Dallas to start it off, and the other win they had against Minnesota last weekend, they had one goal. So it's been an interesting start. I don't want to call it disappointing or necessarily super frustrating, but it's concerning.
It's a little disappointing when you hear about how scary the Avalanche forwards are and how fast the team is, and then you watch the game and A, they don't seem that fast. I mean, there are times when they blaze past guys, but they don't do it together, and they don't seem to really be communicating well. They don't seem to be really, the lines don't really seem to be clicking yet, which seems weird because, you know, the top six guys are guys that have been there for a season. So why aren't they clicking? You know, why aren't things coalescing, you know, and congealing a little
bit?
It's
been like this for a couple seasons now. I just think about how many times, I can't recall the last time the Avalanche had, you know, a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2 and just finished it like no problem, as other teams have, you know, a ton of odd man rushes game in, game out. And that's kind of the tough thing. But besides Matt Duchene, you've got Landeskog with three goals so far this season. You got Nathan MacKinnon with two goals this season. Colborne now has one more than he does. You've got Jerome Iginla with two goals. Who else? Tyson Barry only has one goal. Eric Johnson has zero goals. So, and not that you want to depend on your defenseman to score, but you know, goals by EJ and Barry are going to make a big difference and open up things for your forwards. So we're not trying to play coach or GM right now, but it is concerning seeing some of these numbers so far this season. I mean, 13 games we're getting into near 20% of the season now, and that pace isn't going to work. It's not going to work for a whole lot of reasons.
Yeah, no, and Rene Bork has three now with tonight's goal. So you kind of wonder when are the guys who are paid to get the goals really going to start stepping it up.
You see Nathan, you see Nathan MacKinnon do it every once in a while. It's kind of frustrating where he comes in with a lot of speed and tries to split the defense and just kind of peels off to the end boards and dumps it in, or loses his momentum and looks to pass. And he's one of those guys like Duchesne where it's just he can or shouldn't look to pass most of the time. His job is to score hockey pucks. So hopefully, and he's still fairly young, but Mark Rycroft has brought this up a couple of times in some of the post games, is that the Avalanche aren't the young team anymore. So they don't necessarily have that excuse. It's time to start producing. It's not, well, these guys in a couple of years, they're going to be really good. I mean, that window's starting to close a little bit.
Oh, very much so. There's a time when you can say, they're still learning, but they aren't still learning anymore. They have to use what the experience that they have.
That's right. So yeah. I guess that's somewhat concerning. But I mean, overall, the Avalanche have missed, what is it? How many times in the last 7-8 years they've made the playoff once? Right.
Once in the I think it was once in the Sacco era and once in the Wire.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not what we're used to. It's not what the team's used to. They're not making excuses, and they're definitely not saying, you know, people need to be patient. They know what's expected of them, but it's a little bit
weird of an era right now. It's you know, with the change in in coaching and the like, and also a little bit of change in philosophy. When was the last time? How many Cody McLeod is playing in his sixth game of the season yet? He's been healthy scratched more than he's been in the lineup, and that's a change.
That's a big shift for him.
Yeah, Mitchell went on waivers,
right,
and obviously wasn't claimed, but they kept him up. But man, that's a bit of change there. That's different.
It says a lot when no other team picks him up. Ben Smith was also put on waivers and picked up by Toronto. And I was just reading today that that's kind of he scored a goal, but overall that has not been a move that they're real happy with. They're struggling as well. Mm-hmm. So there is that. But James did some homework, and we want to spend the majority of probably the rest of our time talking about the defense and just kind of the transitions that they've gone through the last, not only a few years, but really the last handful of years, and just kind of breaking that down a little bit and trying to figure out maybe what exactly might be going on the blue line, which I'm sure the team is trying to figure out too.
You ready? You ready to get to that? Do you want to talk about it?
James Tape Like Grelian.
I'm here for
you. Let's talk defense.
Okay. Let's talk defense. This was kind of spurred on because I was listening. I can't remember what I was listening to. And I heard somebody say again, well, the Avalanche have to work on their defense. They have to fix their defense. And I just thought, you know, watching this team for the past several years, they've been trying to. There's been turnover. There's been change. There's been all kinds of things that have happened. And they haven't fixed the defense. How is this? You know, so the perception is that the Avalanche haven't done anything to fix the defense. They've done a lot.
They've done a ton.
Yeah. So I kind of went back through the stat, through the seasons. I went 7 seasons back. It just turned out that this was the start of Eric Johnson. This was the year 2010, 2011 season. It was the season that, with Shattenkirk and Eric Johnson, that trade. And it was, which also happened to be the last year of Adam Foote.
Why is David Krejci on that list?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they played him on defense a couple of games, so maybe they just – that's interesting that he's on there, but I do remember him playing a game or two back there. I don't know. It takes us back to the Blueberry jersey. Please continue. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Wait a minute. Isn't that David Lifton on that
is on that list, and David Krejci's on that list.
And it says that he played
– Oh, I'm on 2010, 2011. My fault. Yeah, but that's where we're starting. We're good.
Yeah, that's where we're starting.
Keep going.
It's a weird list, isn't it?
It's a really weird list, and it's really long.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now, and because David Lifton is on that list, and as I said earlier, according to his Wikipedia page, he only played 4 games with the Avalanche, and this shows him playing like what?
No, Lifton is 4. It's Krejci that played 35. Yeah.
That's right. Yep. Okay. So we're just going to go down this list, and you know what? If there's a mistake on here, hey, sorry. I didn't write the list. Okay.
That's right.
So Sean Bell, Colby Cohn, Kyle Komiski, Adam Foote, Cameron Gaunch, Scott Hannon, Jonas Hollos.
Jonas, you got it.
Thank you, Jonas.
Well Hollos. Done.
Matt Hunwick, Eric Johnson, David Krejci, David Lifton, John Michael Lyles, Ray Massis.
Massis,
jeez. Oh, fine. He only played 2 games. I'm really sorry about
American
that. Ryan O'Byrne, Kyle Quinski, Kevin Shattenkirk, and Ryan Wilson.
Those are all
17 names. 17 names. 17.
And most of them played, all but five or six of them played at least 20 games. I mean, that's a revolving door.
Comiskey only played 18 that year. I don't know why exactly. Could have been injuries. Foot, of course, you know, it was his last season, so he only played 47 because he broke his ankle. Sure. And then he's John Michael Lyles played 76 games.
Man.
And that was his last season with the Avalanche also. Yep. That's insane. That's the first year of Eric Johnson and the last year of Adam Foote. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next season, which, you know, things settled down a little bit, but...
start of the beef era.
This is what I call the beef era, and Jay had to ask me,
where's the beef?
Because of they brought in Shane O'Brien, Ryan O'Byrne was playing, and, and soon another guy who I would consider part of the beef era came in the next season, which was Zanin. This was Tyson Barrie. This was his first season with the Avs. He only played 10 games because he was a call-up along with Stefan Elliott. Jan Hayda, who I guess, you know, you could consider him a little bit of, you know, a little bit of beef, but not, you know, he's not the pugilist of some
minus 17, though.
Who? Matt Hunwick. Eric Johnson. See how I said his name? So.
Oh, yeah.
O'Brien O'Byrne. Kyle Quincy and Ryan Wilson.
Okay. So a lot more stability that season. All right.
A bit more stability. Yeah. Things are settling down. Lyles is out. Kaminsky's out. Holos out. Hannon out. You know, that's a lot of guys. Sure. That's a lot of name guys, too.
All right.
Okay. All right. So next season.
Next season.
12-13. Am I boring
you? No. This is cool. I'm following along. Okay. These are all names that people know and some people love. I don't know. Keep going.
Now, this was the lockout. This was a lockout season, so it was short. But it was virtually the same. You could swap out Zanin for Quincy, you know, which I don't know, one-to-one swap, I guess, there. And Tyson Barrie, this is where he starts to stick.
And this is where they
Elliott
finish.
Kind of gets the question of,
did they finish? You know. They finished second to last in the league during the lockout. This was the year that led to the MacKinnon first overall pick. Okay.
All right. Okay.
We move into a playoff year.
Then we move into a playoff year. Now.
Law's first year in a playoff year.
Yep. Okay. So Barrie, Elliott, Hayda, Hunwick, Johnson, and Wilson.
Okay.
Okay. They're back. Stollery, I don't even need to mention two games. Stefan Elliott, one game. It's pretty much his, you know. Okay, I think we've seen enough and you're gone. Andre Benoit.
Benoit. You can go Benoit.
Benoit.
He won't answer to any of those unless you say Benoit. Hmm. But was he there? He was around for just 1 year, yeah?
He was around for 1 year. Okay. But the big names here, Cody Sarch, Nick Holden, and Nate Gennon.
Okay.
So this pretty but the interesting ones were who came out, and this is where, you know, the change of philosophy comes in. The beef era is over. Right. They move out the beef. They get rid of Zanin, O'Brien, and O'Byrne.
Okay.
And the previous season was Las Vegas. Right. That was when everybody was worried more about Las Vegas than anything else. And Jay Shiger called him out. The point being. All right. I'm sorry. This is long-winded.
You're,
this is ridiculous.
Right.
But the point being that these guys, you know, that the Avs have been doing something. They try. Okay. So they saw some problems with their defense because they tried to just throw meat at it and it didn't work. So they're going to try and get some guys who are faster, guys who can maybe muck in the, you know, they can muck in the corners, but they can also move the puck up a little bit. You know, and that's where they try out Holden and Gennon. Holden, not my favorite. This was the year that Holden scored 10 goals, which was one more than Johnson. So, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at. 10 goals from the blue line is nice. But, you know, I felt he had some other issues, but that's it.
Okay.
Like you said, the Avs made the playoffs this year. This is the first year of Waugh. Everybody on the team, everybody on the defense, was their plus minus was either positive or neutral.
That's
like actually the only one who was ones who were neutral were Hunwick, who played one game, and Elliott, who played one game. Everybody else was positive in the plus minus.
That's not bad. Well, that's how you make the playoffs.
Well, and plus minus, you know, it's complained about a lot that the that it's a bad stat. It's a bad individual stat, but every year that the of these that the Avs did not make the playoffs, almost everybody's a minus.
Tells a story. I think it tells more of an overall story. We've talked about this in our on a show in the past, and we can definitely.
I don't know if it actually, you know, if I actually realized though until looking at this, really how much that stat mattered in that.
Absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
All right, so that's 13-14. Okay. We only got a couple more. Sorry. I promise, guys. I'm sorry.
14-15.
14-15. Barry Elliott plays five games, but your main guys are very similar. Go with what worked, I guess. Barry, Genin, Hayda, Holden, Johnson, and Ryan Wilson. They bring in Brad Stewart. Didn't really work out. They brought in Zach Redmond. I think he was pretty much, an injury guy. This was a year that Eric Johnson got hurt. I think he hurt his knee.
I didn't realize that Brad Stewart played in 65 games. He seemed more hurt to me overall in his tenure as an Av than that.
His first season was pretty good. His second season was the one that really kind of jacked him.
Okay, hey, we're starting overtime here. Would you like to choose? Would you like to choose somebody?
I am going to go with Johnson.
Give me Matt Duchene. Okay. All right, so we've got Nate Genin plays in 76 games. That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? And the next year he played in 29. You know, they kind of had their test with him. Redmond was the interesting one because I never thought much of Redmond, and especially last season. Yeah. But he saw a lot of time.
All right.
Yeah.
But still not a lot of stability. I mean, you've got your top. Yeah, I mean, basically, and it's getting kind of clear, Tyson Barrie may not be a top, maybe not a top two pair type guy for every single game in, game out. He might be your 5-6 guy who is on the power play, running the point on the power play, you know? So it's just trying to figure that out. Oh, your boy. He almost had it. Okay. All right. All right, so we've got that. So we're looking for a core of defensemen.
And what we're really looking at right now, I mean, like in these couple seasons, is Holden, Barry, Johnson.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hope of and Hayda, and then the hope of Stewart. But, you know, I don't think a lot of people had supreme confidence in that.
No, including probably the team after a while.
Mm-hmm. Stewart's still around for 15-16, but only plays six games. And then Francois Boschman's brought in. So he kind of becomes that guy.
Who did you take in overtime?
That would be Johnson.
Okay. I believe Rene Bork just ended it. So I don't mean to spoil it. It for you. If we seem distracted while we're doing this show, that's true. We'll have to.
Yep. There's the goal. And so that means that Rene Bork now has twice as many goals as,
well, let me make sure it was either him or Landeskog. Let's see here.
Well, considering he was the guy on the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, that's always good. Varley with the good save there on Wheeler, the Avalanche killer. All right, hold on, folks. We'll get right back to the show. Actually, it was an own goal. If you had whoever that was for the Jets who just scored on themselves, you're a winner. I don't know who that. Maybe I think they might have given it to Landeskog. Either way, Avs win 2 points. Thank you. It's because we're talking all that stuff about them. They hurt us.
Oh, that is just painful.
That is painful. That reminds me of the San Jose playoff game with Andy.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I could do that. I could.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you can score on anybody, even your own.
All right, so we've got 2015-16, and then we start with the Boschman experiment, yes?
So the Brad Stewart experiment pretty much ends because of his back. Okay. Boschman comes in to be that solid guy. A couple of trade deadline guys. Jelena, but he only plays six games because he gets injured. Bodnarchuk, he plays 21 games, but then he's out of there. Gormley, 26 games. He's out of there. So it's kind of, you know, it's such a weird.
Yeah, that noise you just made right there. That's it. It's like, oh.
That,
oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and but this is the thing. This is what, you know, this is what kind of drove me to all of this is that there has been change. There has been an effort. There has been an effort to make this better. And
there has, for sure.
It just hasn't happened yet.
And it's not, we have talked about this in our past shows too. Picking up top two, you know, big time defensemen, it's not easy. You're going to have to pay a ton of money, or you're going to have to pull a huge trade. And these are guys that the Drew Doughtys, the Shea Webbers, the Weber and Subban deal. That's why it was a big deal, because you have guys like, you know, Duncan Keith. Once teams have Zdeno Chara, once teams have guys like that, they're not going to let him go. They're it's much like a top tier NHL goalie. They're not easy to get, so you got to hang on to them. And the Avalanche are kind of stuck in that spot where, well, do we get some offense? You know, some more offensive talent. You go back to the Seth Jones, Nathan MacKinnon draft story, and you have to take the best available player when you have that first overall pick. And for the most part, you know, I think it's worked out fairly well for both teams, but it's tough. And the Avalanche are trying with what they have, but that's not as easy to take care of as it is to sit and talk about it, for sure.
Another example, you know, a good example of that is what just happened with Jacob Trouba. He asked for a trade because he's not seeing the time that he wants to see. And there's no trade because the asking price was super high, because he's a halfway decent defenseman, even though he's holding out, even though he's still so young, not completely proven. But the asking price is high because he can be a top two defenseman.
Absolutely. And they're not easy to find. They're no. Big time skill players that eat up a ton of ice time. And that's a thing. So it's good to see the Avalanche trying to make adjustments, addressing it rather than, well, let's just see how it goes for a couple seasons and then we'll go from there. When something's obviously not working, they do try and fix it. So credit to them.
Yeah, the Subban Weber trade was like, you know, the risk was not very high for either team. They both knew that they were getting back an NHL-ready defenseman, a top 1-2 guy. But you're right. Those trades don't come along very often. Case in point, the Eric Johnson trade was a pretty blockbuster trade.
Big deal.
And his stock had dropped a little bit in St. Louis. There's a reason he was available, and there was a reason that the Avs gave up somebody like Shattenkirk.
Yeah, that says a lot. It really does say a lot. You don't see them very often, and when you do see them, people notice. That's for sure. So.
Yeah. And oftentimes, you know, we look at the defense and we go, and, you know, like we just broke down, there has been change. There has been changes in attitude. There has been changes in personnel, in, you know, system, or the type of guys that you want to have playing the way that you want them to. And oftentimes, especially in the beef era, you could point at it and just go, man, you can see what's going on. But I was watching the Blackhawks Avalanche game recently. I couldn't figure out what exactly the deal was. Like, there was, you're watching this and you're like, man, something is wrong and I can't exactly put my finger on it. And that is frustrating.
I think the team, it looks like they're feeling that way as well. At times I've watched this season and they just look, there's nothing in their eyes. They just kind of look lost, and that's discouraging, and it's discouraging to them too. So hopefully, you know, win like tonight you know, two points on home ice, we'll take it. And hopefully they can start turning things around. And Bednar has brought it up, consistency, and just the consistent effort night in, night out. And that's easy to talk about. It's really tough with the competition in this league and in their division to try and figure that out and make it work for you. But they're working on it, and it's obviously a work in progress. And you're just going to have to be some patience on, you know, from the fans and from the team. We'll see.
It's hard to have patience sometimes, especially with like the way that the coaching change happened. But because of the way that the coaching change happened, that's exactly why there needs to be patience. Yeah.
You know? So there's that. The goaltending situation we talked about a little bit before. Varley hasn't stolen many games. We're used to Varley stealing a handful of games, and you know, we've been able to, as fans, trust him and to be able to watch him do that the last couple of years he's been here, and that just hasn't been the case. Calvin Pickard has looked pretty solid. So, you know, tonight's win helps a lot. Varley wasn't near as busy. It was against a Winnipeg team that played last night, and the Avalanche hadn't played since since Tuesday. So glad they took advantage of that because they lost at home the other night to a Phoenix team that had won, Arizona team that had won one road game so far this season. So I don't know. It's kind of on and off, and you're just looking for the Avs to string together a bunch of games where they have a lot of good effort and hopefully a lot of wins. They haven't ripped off a 5-6-7 game win streak, which aren't easy to come by for a while, or 7 or 8 straight games where they get points. It's been, I can't remember last time they did that. So,
just give me 4 in a row something. And they look organized. Well, I mean, even if they lost and they looked like they were really well organized, like they were playing together well, I'd be happy with that as a start. It just they just seem like they're kind of like, yeah, I'm going to go over here.
Yeah.
See,
how would that go in the locker room? Bednar's like, okay, guys, we're going to go for wins. Let's not go for wins as much. We're going to go for consistency. Not, let's just look pretty good for like 4 straight games. Can we do that, guys? Let's do that. And I'm sure they'd
look, guys, let's set our expectations just a little bit lower out
guys,
there.
Guys, okay? Come on. We need to set.
I know that you want something.
We need to set attainable goals like, here. All right. Let's be realistic. Yeah. Let's
all just try and. Okay. Tonight, I want you guys to get in the zone.
Let's try and play well for like 2 periods tonight. Can we do that? Are we good with that? Okay. Let's go, guys.
I get the impression that would be like Mark Rycroft in the room. Guys, you got to get out there and you have to skate. And I want you to do it together.
This guy,
that's it.
This guy's
just do that.
This guy's an incredible motivator.
This guy's like, oh my God, that's all I have to do. This is going to be awesome.
What's going on? I get paid to do this? This is great.
But you know, you were talking about Varley. What did we say at the top of the season? You know, which Varley shows up is going to be important. And we haven't seen the Varley that he could be.
No, so. And the same goes for Nathan MacKinnon. The same thing. He's got to be a guy that's got to step up and look to shoot and look to split the defense and create some action. And I mean, he's getting there and he showed some promise during the World Cup of Hockey. And like I said, Ed, he'd tell you the same thing. You got to have guys like MacKinnon and Landeskog producing in a lot of different ways in order for this team to play well. So it's kind of a bad combination when they're struggling offensively. Varley isn't playing as well as he should. And the defense is struggling a little bit too. And they, you know, in the new system. So, That's where we are right now.
You can tell when the Avs aren't doing all that well from our shows because we're just not as funny. We just don't have as much fun stuff to riff.
This
on.
Isn't funny. Like it's not. It's discouraging and it's concerning
Again.
We want the team that we root for to do well. And we'd never say that they're not trying and we're not gonna throw anybody underneath a bus, but we're gonna try and make sense of it, and we still love making the show.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, something I wanted to ask you quickly about before we start the wrap-up here.
Yes, sir.
You were at the game with Minnesota. What happened with Landeskog and Dubnyk? You were there.
It was...
what was going on?
Landeskog parked in front, and, you know, these teams don't like each other a whole lot. Dubnyk got angry about something, and he slashed Landeskog in the back of the legs. And Landeskog, as we know and we love, he's not going to put up with that stuff. So he didn't necessarily fight because I wouldn't fight a guy with a blocker either. But and plus, dude, Dubnyk's like he's a big dude.
He's a big dude.
So that was interesting. Keeps kind of the rivalry going. There was no Zach Parise to score big goals against the Avs, and the Avs end up winning 1-0 in overtime. So no, not in overtime. Landy scored in the third period, but real good win. Always fun. A lot of Wild fans there though, and that's part of the repercussions of the Avalanche playing like they have. There's a lot of opposing fans there, depending on which team is playing that night. So, my dad and I will be there Sunday afternoon, evening. It's a 5:00 start against the Bruins, and I'm expecting a lot of Bruins fans there. So, you know, in one sense, I want the Avs to start playing better. So literally, you could take Pepsi Center back because the Let's Go Wild and Let's Go Avalanche cheers for the first 2 periods, there's like 20 dueling cheers things that everybody does. And it's just like, man, we got to get our building back. But the Avs need to start playing better in order for that to happen.
You winning gets your building back. That's pretty much the only
winning
way.
Winning does a lot of stuff. Winning makes our podcast happier and
it does.
I want to giggle more. I can't giggle right now. So
you poor guy.
I know. Feel bad for me. This is.
But you look good. Hey, that's the important.
It's my
part.
Yankees hat.
I wasn't even going to bring it up.
Okay, forget I did. All right. James, we have a spiel that we do every show.
I'm going to do this.
Let's start wrapping this thing up with the spiel by James Tape Like Raelian.
Normally, I'm not even ready for the spiel. I'm totally ready for
the
spiel.
Dude, you're so ready.
You can find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. We put it in the name. It's right there, people. You can subscribe. You can subscribe in iTunes. You can subscribe in Android. You can subscribe in Zune. You still have a Zune? What are you doing with a Zune? Zunes are dead.
Come on, man.
You could probably like put it on. You could probably buy it as an etching. I don't know. But we have buttons there for you to do that with. There's a link to the Team AHP hashtag, but I don't think that exists anymore. What is it?
Sorry, somebody else started using that hashtag, so we won't change it. I think the link will go to the same thing, but it's Team Avs Podcast. So somebody else started using the hashtag, and I don't want to fight with anybody, so we just changed it. But anybody that plays Avs Twitter Psychic, I put on the Team Avs Podcast list, and appreciate your support with that.
What was the AHP for the Team AHP? Was it American Heart Problems?
No, it was some kind of a doctor. It was like Doctors Without Borders type thing.
You can't get in.
No,
those,
and I don't want to fight with anybody. Like I just find it interesting that they were using that same hashtag. So
didn't they look first and go? And they probably looked at it first and were like, "What is all this?"
No, they should have. Well, so that they could choose another one. But you know, the territory wars with hashtags on Twitter. Big deal. So, you know, you got to do your homework. If you can find a unique hashtag, that's the way to go. So
it's a war.
It is a war. It's a war out there, and everybody's going to lose.
Listen, if you wanted to contact us, there is a plethora of ways. I think that's the first time I've used plethora on the show. Good. Don't you even start with
10 points. Here. That's a good word. Nice work.
There's a link to the Facebook page, which is, which Jay runs, and he puts all kinds of stuff on. He even puts on stuff that I tell him actually happened, and then he doesn't credit me for it.
Oh, I did that. Remind me, though.
Sick burn. He's also on Twitter at Avs Podcast and on Instagram at Avs Podcast. And we have t-shirts because, you know, everybody has t-shirts. They're curse word t-shirts. Boy, we haven't even used curse word in a long time.
Curse word.
At curseword.net. And you can call us up at 845-704-7465. That's 845-704-RINK. And you can ask us a question if you want. We'll answer it because we do that. Unless it's like, you know, really racy and strange and gives off some really creepy vibes that actually you don't want to hear. Also, you can email us at avshockeypodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at tapeleg. I've been a little bit more active lately. I think that's about it.
We have fun all over the internets.
We do. There's so much internets to cover.
There's totally.
It's ridiculous. So many internets. Hey, you had a shout out, didn't
you?
Yeah,
shout out. I forgot to include this last time, but shout out to Ryan and Rob with the Avalanche, their media relations guys. They do the Avscast. Super enjoyed number 20 with Brian Wilsey. Great, great storyteller. A lot of great details. They post a podcast every once in a while, but they do a fabulous job connecting with the fans, and it's always very much appreciated. So shout out to Ryan Boulding and Rob Nabenbauer for all they do for the fans, and especially on episode 20. I really just enjoyed great questions and just telling Brian Wilsey, telling about all the things that he's done in the game of hockey. So shout out to them for that for sure. Do you have any shout outs besides? Nice. Besides,
I do.
To the street sweepers in San Francisco to try and keep things from smelling pissy. What else?
I want to just give a general shout out to absolutely anybody who has told me about my broken ankle that, I'll get back on the skates one day, because the other people who are the people who tell me that what the heck am I doing skating at 44 and I shouldn't be doing this. So to anybody who has remained positive for me to get back on ice or whatever with El Broco Anko, thank you. Thank you very much.
James is healing up.
Appreciate it. Shout out to you guys.
What percentage are you at right now?
I can walk.
Okay.
without the assist of the boot for a while, but I am slow.
All right,
I am slow. Right.
So
getting there.
You'll get better. Happy you're healing up.
Getting there.
Also, shout out to everybody that plays Avs Twitter psychic on the Twitter machine every game day. It's really cool to watch this kind of go on its own now. It's something that people think about on game days and do. I don't need to prompt a ton of people. What I do is retweet a lot of the cool ones that I see throughout the day instead of trying to promote it myself. We're kind of promoting within. So just want to give a shout out to everybody that keeps that going. And it's a lot of
Hey, and shout out for you for playing again, because you were not playing for a while. And, you know, I was feeling a little weird. I was like, you know, if I'm going to promote this thing, it better be good enough for you too, big guy.
All right. I appreciate it.
Glad you're doing it. I'm happy to retweet you.
That was positive peer pressure. So that's a given.
You also have to remind me to retweet you.
I will do that.
I'll forget.
As long as you promise, because I feel weird retweeting myself. So if you promise to retweet me, even if I have to remind you, I'll definitely obviously keep playing.
I am there
until further notice.
I've won twice, I think. Now,
I think I have one or two wins as well. So
yeah, I know you have one. I retweeted. Yeah, you have one. I retweeted.
It's a fun game, win or lose, and that's what it's there for. And Matt Duchene couldn't have scored during overtime because he was hurt. He got hit. Oh. He got hit in the something. Because hockey.
Elbow? Groin?
No, it was up high.
All right.
We'll see. Oh, well. He'll be back, hopefully.
Oh, well. So,
James Tapley Graylian, always a pleasure. Thank you for all your work in making AHP number 103 happen.
You got it.
That's so awesome. Happy you're healing up, and let's talk again soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody out there, you have a lot of choices with your podcasts and Avs fandom and things like that. We appreciate you downloading the show and listening to it. We do it because you listen to it and you give us support, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you for thanks for doing that, for tuning in for this, because, you know, this one I rambled on a lot with the whole thing. But you know what? It's a good time. We have a good time. We get to talk about our favorite team, and we probably wouldn't do it if we didn't have people actually listening. We love to talk to each other about hockey, but the show is fun to do. It's part of our fandom, and we're really happy that you make it part of your
fandom. It's the connections that are the most important part, and we've made a lot of great ones. So thank you for that. And we'll be back in your ear holes pretty soon, and we'll talk a little bit more. Hopefully we have a little more fun news to talk about so we can be silly like we always do. So James, take care, bud.
You as well.
Everybody else out there, we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Let's go, Avs. And we'll talk to you again soon, like I just said, on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.
Oh, man. Why am I still wearing pants?